Yes, yes. It's Jos Bravio. He's from Argentina. Yeah, he's from Argentina. He's barely 15'2". I mean, really, he's probably just a scotch under that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's kind of a very serious guy. He takes his job very seriously. He takes himself very seriously.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans. Hey, Rob, like always, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Exhibitors.
Oh, we love Exhibitors.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. Great stuff. This week, we'd like to feature their Quick Braid. Quick Braid is your go-to finishing product for all types of styling or training for your horse's mane and tail. You can train stand-up manes and tail to lie flat. Best of all, Quick Braid combs right out without washing, allowing easier mane and tail care for days after any event. The formula is designed especially for show ring results and is superior to using water or human styling product alternatives. They recommend using Quick Shampoo and Quick Conditioner prior to styling with Quick Braid.
Yeah, that's some awesome stuff. Well, you know, I'm a terrible braider, Karen, so that's why I'm not allowed to touch the stuff.
But right.
Even this will help me out. So.
But I've used it. It's great stuff.
Awesome, awesome. So thank you very much, Exhibitors. We sure do appreciate it. It's pretty much everywhere, right, Karen?
Yep. And like they say, groom like you mean it.
Triple Crown Feed,
oh,
Karen.
Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there, mm-hmm. Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
Triplecrownfeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
Triplecrownfeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show.
And we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Patricia Scott Insurance. Now, Trish is very passionate about helping those who share her love of horses. With over 30 years of experience in writing equine insurance, and she's also an FEI licensed to eventing steward, she understands the unique risks and liabilities faced by horse farm and ranch owners. And she's able to tailor your policy to meet your specific needs. Don't risk your passion. Get insured today. Now, Trish is always only a phone call away, so you can call her at 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen. And tonight's guest, Robbie, I'm really excited because, to be honest, like, I've seen the name before, but I really didn't know too much about her until I saw the Aiken Grand Prix Eventing Showcase.
Yes.
And I was so impressed by her cross-country round. I was like, we need to have her on. So welcome to the show, advanced rider Danny Sussman.
Welcome.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, so glad to have you on. And like I said, like, I watched her cross-country round, and I was cheering you on all the way. I was like, oh, she's going to make time. And even the announcers, they were like, oh, she's going to do it. But it must have been that hard because you didn't make the time.
You were flying.
I did not make the time. I did have to take the option at those angled houses. The camera angle that did not do it justice as to like how crazy of an angle those things were, which I just thought was like the best situation for my horse at that time. But I definitely am sitting on this little pocket rocket, and he was phenomenal. I just had the best time that weekend. It was such a special weekend for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was so impressed by your riding and your horse. So I can't wait to find out more about him. But before we get into all that, we always like to know where our guests are at currently. So where are you coming to us from?
I am sitting in an RV at Buck Davidson's farm in Redick, Florida right now.
Oh.
And I am here for the winter season.
Okay. Oh, sitting in an RV at Buck's place.
There you go.
Yep. Oh. Yep. Definitely not glammed out, that's for sure.
But. Right. Now, did the rain stop there? It wasn't like the weather really bad in that area recently?
You know, it's been kind of hit or miss. It kind of seems to follow me at the horse shows lately. Oh. I was at Bukart Farm last weekend, and it was, or this weekend, and it was very, very wet there. And as you know, at the showcase, it was also not ideal conditions on dressage and show jump day.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for some drier weather the rest of the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, I'm just getting good practice in the mud, I guess. Right?
Yeah, it never hurts. Yeah.
But, you know, Ocala's not too bad. Where's your home base normally?
I'm in Larkspur, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
I've got a beautiful farm there. And I'm there for most of the year, and I end up just kind of being a bit nomadic the rest of the time. So I spend a lot of time behind the wheel of my truck.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, wow. Okay. Well, we'll get into all that. We'll get into your current business in a little bit and find out everything. But first, can you take us back and tell us your story about how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I pretty much was born into horses. My mom had horses growing up. She actually did kind of the Arab show scene, which definitely was not my speed, but I got introduced to horses that way and into Pony Club. And that's really where my passion for eventing kind of took off. And like Pony Club really shaped kind of the horseman that I am today. And I'm a graduate, and that's actually kind of what led me on to my career path. I went to University of Colorado in Boulder. I actually have a chemical engineering degree, so I wasn't initially planning on making horses my full-time gig. But I taught all through college. I competed all through college. And after I graduated, I moved to Northern California and kind of got hooked up with the local pony clubs there. And kind of one thing led to another. And my husband actually was like, well, you know, this actually might be kind of your calling here. And, you know, kind of like next thing I knew, we formed the LLC of Aspire Eventing. And then here it is now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely the abbreviated version. Wow. I mean, but so your mom was into the Arabians.
Yep.
And so I actually, my parents were into Arabians too. So I kind of got suckered into doing like all the halter showing and all that stuff. But, did you ride the Arabians or did you have to do any like the Arabian show circuit?
Yeah, so I didn't do the Arabian show circuit, but I definitely tried to make an Arabian my first event horse, and that certainly didn't go plan. And then from there, actually, my first real eventing pony was a Mustang, and he was brilliant. He kind of like won everything, and then I got introduced to the off the track thoroughbreds and took that horse through Young Riders and then my next horse from there actually came from New Zealand, which is where my company name came from. Her name was Aspire.
Okay.
And, she was a brilliant horse, beautiful. And I took her after we lived in California for a bit, my husband and I moved up to Seattle, and, that's where I got connected with Amy Tryon, who was super influential in my riding and my career. And was an amazing mentor to me, and And yeah, kind of from there, like I traveled the world a bit with her and gained a huge amount of experience and kind of the fire that got lit in me even more. And I just kind of kept going with it.
Wow. Amy Tryon. Wow. Ugh.
Yeah.
She was amazing. Definitely miss.
Absolutely.
Miss her around. What was the name of her horse? I'm drawing a blank.
Poggio.
Poggio. Yes. That's it. Oh, yeah. Yep. They were such an awesome team.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Unbelievable. And he was a little guy too. And, yeah, it's kind of funny because I really enjoy riding the small horses. Like 15-2 max is kind of my cup of tea. So I really enjoy that. And yeah, Poggio was a small horse. Despite Amy being a tall person, she did such an amazing job with him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Wow. Yeah. He didn't look that small.
No, I didn't think he was that.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, he was a small guy. Yeah.
So you went to University of Colorado. Now, did you ride and compete during that time?
I did. The university didn't have any sort of like riding program. So it was just kind of all on my own. And I, even back then, was traveling to Texas and to California and out of state and such to compete. And my professors always gave me a lecture about that my focus wasn't quite as much as it should have been in the engineering, but I proved them that I could do both. So,
Wow.
Yeah. That's just impressive.
Yeah. Now oh my gosh. So you got your degree in that, like, so what made you decide not to pursue the professional engineering and go into horses?
Well, my plan was to truly go into a professional career in chemical engineering, whether it was in oil and gas or biotech, or I even had like a little bit of an emphasis in environmental engineering. But I graduated right after 9/11. And when we moved to California with my husband, as you can imagine, my resume wasn't incredibly padded because I was traveling all summer with the horses and such. So there were certainly better candidates for some of these positions based solely on my resume. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be something I would kind of go back, I think, and change in hindsight. Not that I don't love what I'm doing and all of that, but if I were to pursue that, that's definitely something I wish somebody would have sat me down and talked to me about in real terms, you know. But so I taught all through college, and you know, again, I was super involved with all the local pony clubs, and kind of one thing led to another. I ended up, you know, having basically a full-fledged clientele base, and then it was just kind of, you know, I sat down one day with my husband Jeff, and he was like, well, let me know. Maybe this is your calling. Maybe this is what, you know, what we need to do. And, you know, then you can, you know, teach and ride full time. And then, you know, I did that. I did that in California. And then we moved to Seattle, and I kind of had to start my business. Like, I moved my business there, but obviously it's a different clientele base. Mm-hmm. But was able to get connected up there and, you know, started the business all over again there. And then 5 years later, I ended up moving back to Colorado and kind of having to do it again. So at least I've proved that I can do it over and over again, at least.
Yeah.
And but yeah, that's kind of how it came to be. It was really I kind of call it a little bit of dumb luck, but as to how it became my full-time profession. But I truly was exploring the engineering as my original gig.
Right. Now, what's the eventing scene like in Colorado? Now, growing up, like, you started eventing, were there local farms and coaching there, or did you have to travel?
There were definitely some local farms and events, and kind of as with everything throughout the country, it kind of ebbs and flows a bit. And, you know, we've lost a couple and gained a couple. So I would say the biggest thing, you know, we've got a really like tight knit community with lots of support from all the other local event trainers in the area, which is just amazing. And the Colorado Horse Park has kind of ebbed and flowed throughout its entire existence. But it's kind of coming back on to the scene, which is super exciting as another event in the area. But certainly for the upper level horses, it definitely requires quite a bit of travel.
Mm-hmm. Now, being in Colorado, I know, so Robbie went to
the Olympic Training Center up in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, the Olympic Training Center. Yep, and being there, like the horse's fitness, do you find that it helps them with their fitness, say, when you go to Florida? Like if you do your...
Absolutely. Yeah? I would... Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I would say because I live... Like my farm is at 6,800 in elevation. Mm. And I have a ton of hills to work on as well. So I definitely think I have a bit of a competitive edge on their fitness kind of going into the season and both, you know, in January/February, as well as kind of later on in the year when I go back in summer in Colorado. So then when I campaign in the fall, you know, I've trained all summer on the hills and at elevation, but I definitely think there's something to that for sure. And I certainly feel the effects of it as well.
Yeah.
You know, definitely my horses definitely don't feel nearly as winded, as quick. And, you know, to me, that's just kind of a little bit less wear and tear on their body, which is, you know, everybody wants that edge, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I was curious about that too. Cause you know, like everyone always goes down south for, you know, the winter time to keep, you know, riding and everything, but come from like running and all that type of stuff. And, you know, like we said, went to Colorado Springs. I was always curious, like, well, why not go to like Flagstaff or, you know, Colorado or something, you know, get the altitude, then you come back. Now you got the Maryland 5-star or not Maryland, you know, got Kentucky in the spring, you know, come back nice and fit for that.
Yep.
It's always something that was interesting.
You definitely have the weather to contend with. So like to get fit in Colorado leading up to Kentucky would be difficult just because the weather in Colorado can be a bit schizophrenic to say the least that time of year. You know, it can be 70 and then it can snow 3 feet the next day. So that can be a bit tricky, but definitely kind of towards the fall events, it's fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah that's kind of, I wonder like why more people, well, I could see why more people wouldn't travel all the way there, but you know, like,
at least, it'd be an interesting experiment.
Yeah. At least in like, say in the summer or springs, go there.
Yeah, especially like with every year and it's just like too hard to really be doing too much. Mm-hmm. Ship out for a little
bit. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah,
interesting. Awesome. So, you know, Dane, so we've already talked a little bit about, so, you know, you have Aspire Eventing. You know, tell us a little bit about what you have going on there. Like, are you mostly just riding or, you know, it sounds like you're doing some teaching or you're doing a lot of training.
Yep. A little bit of everything. I run a full training program, and most of my clients compete, although it's not a requirement. And I've got a handful of clients that I kind of see semi-regularly that live either over the mountains, so they're kind of 3 hours away. So I'll do a lot of remote teaching with them. And I've got a bunch that really enjoy traveling with me to either Florida or to, you know, the more local shows such as Rebecca Farms or to Texas or, you know, Kentucky. And I say I'm using air quotes and not in local, as, you know, that's a day trip in the sense of they're 17 hours versus 28, you know. And I like to take in horses in training that you know, or that are a little bit special, that are a little bit difficult, and kind of work through those issues with them. And, it's super rewarding. And I have like, it's just a great group of clientele, and, yeah, it's super, it's wonderful.
Yeah. And so when you're in Ocala, like you said, you're at Buck's, do you train with Buck while you're down there?
I do. Okay. I do. Yep.
Very cool.
So, he's helped me out tremendously, especially in the cross country. He has really helped my riding kind of reach the next level there. And he has this uncanny ability just to like breathe confidence into you, when you need it most. And just, he's so good with like the small nuances of, you know, move this body part 2 inches left. And it's kind of this earth shattering moment of like, oh my God, yes, I get it. I get it. I got it. Yeah. That's brilliant. That feels amazing. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has helped me tremendously with that.
And like, how many horses do you typically, you know, have either that are yours or just at home basically versus, you know, how many that you're bringing over to Florida with you?
So this year in Florida, I've got 6, and I've got, basically 10 that stayed home. And I've got an assistant that helps me kind of maintain things while I'm gone so that things function as smoothly as if I was there. And because that's super important to me that, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm abandoning anybody, and, you know, they're there because they want to be, and they want to work with us. And, I value that tremendously. So, you know, even though that I'm here, you know, my clients have figured out that by me being away, I get to actually bring back the knowledge, and share it with them. So they have really seen the benefit of my travels and my career path and learning and all of that, and really get to benefit from it, which is just awesome.
That's great. You're busy.
Yeah, you are. Now we did read that you got the USCA ECP grant for coaching.
I did. Yes.
So can you tell us about that?
So that is, also on my radar to get accomplished this year. You know, I find that it's, you know, really important for the continuing education. As I said, I'm an A graduate pony clubber, and, you know, this kind of, I feel is like the next step, in that progression. And I just feel that, you know, being a student of the sport, you know, I've never stopped learning, and I feel like this is a great opportunity, for continuing to ed and, kind of to be able to support the program and give back. And, I'm super excited about, you know, going through all the workshops, which I'm planning on doing in June, I believe.
Okay. And how long does it take?
Well, so you have to do 2 workshops, both a dressage and a jumping workshop, and each workshop was 3 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And of course they're not going to be local to me, so let's just travel, but that's okay. So I'm planning on doing that in June, and then, taking the assessment shortly thereafter, I hope. And, and I'm going to go for my level 4, and I'm super excited about the program though.
Yeah. That's really cool. I don't really know much about the program. So yeah it's kind of interesting to hear like, you know, what you have to do to go, you know, the courses that you go through, like,
and I guess kind of like with that. So like, what's the assessment like? Like, I'm kind of curious to know kind of how all that goes and then get to like your leveling.
Is it like your horse management for Pony Club?
Exactly. Pretty much. I mean, you're going to be teaching a lesson in front of, the assessors, and, you know, there are certain things that they want to see you accomplish, you know, throughout the lesson, and, really showing, you know, your basis of knowledge, and how effective you are as a coach. And obviously certainly the role played on safety, because, you know, that's becoming obviously increasingly more important, especially, you know, the more that our sport is in the spotlight, you know, safety is a huge concern. So, really focusing on that as well. So, yeah, I'm just so honored that I was able to apply for the grant and that I received it.
Yeah.
Just a great opportunity.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah that's really awesome. Cool. Yeah. So tell us about your little pocket rocket, Joss Bravio, if I'm saying it correctly.
Yes. It's Joss Bravio. Oh, he's Joss. From Argentina. Yeah, he's from Argentina. He's barely 15'2". I mean, really, he's probably just a scotch under that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's kind of a very serious guy. He takes his job very seriously. He takes himself very seriously. And I joke that he has a very big bubble. He doesn't like other horses. He doesn't like to be fussed with. He doesn't like people in his space. He is very just like, I'm going to go do my job. I'm going to go do it well and leave me alone. but he's just brilliant. Like he loves to show. And actually at the showcase, I was talking to Buck and I was like, God, I'm just kind of worried about, you know, keeping his focus. There's so much going on and, you know, going in between those arenas and the small gaps and such. We as the partnership have never done that. He hasn't, I haven't. And he's like, you're going to be fine. It'll be totally fine. Mm-hmm. And it was just brilliant. It was like, nobody was there. It was like the arena rails weren't even there. He just was so focused and just was like, yeah, point me where I'm going. I'm going.
Yeah. And it, like you said, he's barely 15'2", but like he really carries himself.
Yeah.
Like he's bigger, or at least to me.
For sure. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, oh my God, how's your big horse doing? And I was like, he's actually not big. And I make him look very proportional. I'm 5'1".
Oh, okay.
So that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective as to how small he is.
Yeah.
So we fit each other really, really well, in that way. But yeah, he looks like a big horse going for sure.
He does. I had Robbie watch the video. I'm like, you got to watch this horse go because he's just so cool.
Yeah.
He's really cool.
And like, and you guys took that, you guys took the, what were they calling it? Like the broken bridge, you know, that kind of like jump up bounce. Like that was one of the smoothest rides I'd saw for that. Like that gave a lot of people some issues there. And like that image just seemed like it fit his stride and everything perfect for it.
It was absolutely brilliant there. I'm not going to lie. I definitely, the first day we arrived, I saw that and I was like, that isn't jumpable. I don't even know what to do there. That is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. But he was absolutely brilliant there. And he was just so fun. And he's certainly not the most conventional jumper, but oh my gosh, he just has springs and he just jumps higher. So he gets the job done kind of in his own little flair.
Yeah.
In his own way.
Yeah. Such a cool horse. Now, what are your plans with him?
So the plan is he's going to do the 4 short at Kentucky.
Okay.
We have some business to finish there that we didn't get done last year. So he's going to do the 4 short at Kentucky. And then we're going to go on to do the 4 long at Tryon. And then he will go home and have a nice vacation in a big grassy field. And for the fall, I don't know. I've got my sights on a couple of big things and kind of waiting to see kind of what materializes and which direction we end up going.
Yeah.
But hopefully something big this fall.
Yeah. Well, well, maybe we'll see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, it's like you don't want to say it, but you know, exactly.
You're putting it out there and trying to get all the stars to align at the right time, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yep. He'll let you know if he's ready.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, what other horses do you have in your string?
Yeah, so I have this really pretty interesting stallion that I ride. He's owned by a syndicate, and his name's R.R. Simple. And he has a little bit of an interesting story also. He also came from Argentina, but he's a Hanoverian. He was bred in Germany and then imported to Argentina as a foal by his mom's side. So he was raised the Argentinian way. So he is absolutely impeccably mannered. Nobody knows he's a stallion until you actually like walk up to him and see him, really, because he's just unbelievably mannered and well behaved. But he's super exciting, and he's taken a bit to kind of get him figured out. But he's kind of clicking into being an event horse. He's just a beautiful mover, and I'm just kind of working on getting him a little bit naturally, a little bit more quicker across the ground. But he has really taken to it and really has become quite the cross country horse. He was super at Bucart Farms this past weekend. He did the two short.
Okay.
And that was kind of the first time he'd run in mud, and I wasn't quite sure how he was going to act and all of that. And he actually kind of dug in deep and dug to a bit of a different level than he has in the past. So that was kind of fun to see and feel. So I'm super excited about him. I kind of have some big plans for him as well. And hopefully he'll fill those shoes. He kind of keeps getting better and better every day. And he's certainly beautiful to look at. So, so hopefully he'll have some babies on the ground here in a year or so,
yeah.
Which would be also super exciting. So,
yeah, you don't see very many stallions out there.
No,
you don't. You don't. So yeah, it's kind of fun and different, and you know, hopefully he'll be able to kind of, you know, make a name for himself in the eventing world, and you know, hopefully be the next big thing there. You know.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I also have another horse that's owned partially by me and partially by Stacey Hoagland, and he too is also from Argentina, and he's a quirky guy, and he has come a very long way. It took me 6 months to figure out when he came over how to basically get on him. He was super quirky, and we've worked through a lot, and he and the stallion are kind of moving up the levels together. So I kind of call them brothers, and they've been kind of, you know, trading off successes at each show. One will be more successful than the other, and then the next weekend it's vice versa. And but they couldn't be more different. But they're super fun to kind of work as a pair together. So which is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have to ask, so How are you so connected with these Argentinian horses?
Yeah, so my show jump coach in Colorado, Mariano Bedoya, is from there. And when a number of years ago, I was looking for someone locally in Colorado, and he had just moved to Colorado from Chicago, and I was basically his first client. When he moved, like I don't even think he'd like actually moved into his house fully. And, I sought him out and was like, hey, we're going to work together. And, one of my horses at the time, Thurston B. Howell, who is owned by Carol Mavrakis, she also owns, part of, Bravi. When he retired, Mariano was like, you need to go to Argentina with me. And he'd been hounding me for a long time to go. And finally the time was right. And we went, and that's when I found Bravi. And that was 4 years ago. And then 2 years later, I went over and brought back Ray and Baral. And so it's been a great connection down there. Would not have had an in without Mariano for sure. So yeah, it's been super fun to kind of explore these horses, and they're tough. They're tough horses. They're rugged. It's cool.
Yeah. Now, is it like if you went to say Ireland, is it like the same thing, like where you could go to Ireland and you can try like 50 horses in like 3 days. Is it kind of like that, or is it like a smaller group of horses?
I would say it's a smaller group. Okay. I definitely have, you know, a contact over there that compiles a list, and a little bit. They're definitely more show jump based. There is certainly eventing there. Like Bravi and Burrell had been eventing there a bit. The Stallion had been in doing just the show jumping. So it's definitely like a bit of a smaller pool. I tried probably 10 horses a day, so you definitely can ride a ton, but I would say it's still a little bit different than if you went to Ireland and, you know, had the hordes of horses thrown at you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I guess like, what is the plane ride over here? Is it shorter? Would it be shorter?
It's 10 hours to Miami.
Okay.
Huh. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible flight. But they typically ship to Miami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh. And then they have to go all the way to Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, actually 2 years ago when I got the Stallion and Burrell, I actually just shipped them up from Miami to here, to Ocala. And that worked out great.
Yeah.
So then they got to break up their trip a bit. But poor Bravi had the shell shock of going from Buenos Aires to Colorado. Oh,
poor thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Oh, all right. So Danny, we're going to play quick fire questions. And quick fire questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Get your all weather outerwear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. And I've seen pictures of you and your Red and Goat, so I know you're out there wearing it.
Oh my God. I can't live without it. It's amazing.
They sure are. All right. So 5 questions. You don't have to be quick, but we will have strict grading at the end. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Favorite rider growing up?
Slightly grown at that point, but I mean, honestly, I would still say Amy Tryon. She was an unbelievable horsewoman, and she was always had her hands on her horses and just knew everything that was going on with them. She was just brilliant inside and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, favorite event to compete at?
I would have to say Rebecca Farms. That's definitely my go-to event every year. The Broussards have done so much for the eventing community that their event is just so incredibly special too. Like it's a beautiful area, and all of my clients love to go, and we kind of make a bit of a vacation out of it. And, you know, whether I have a horse in the FEIs at that time or not, I always have something that I can take to ride in a division. And it's just such an unbelievable venue. And for me, it's extra special too, because I get to see, all of my friends from California and from Washington. So it's always a bit of a reunion time for me, and which also makes it just that much more special.
Yeah. Yeah. That's on my bucket list. Get mm-hmm. to Rebecca Farm. I haven't been there. It just looks so nice. So have to.
Oh, it really is. It really is. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah. Got to go. All right. I think I already know the answer to this one. I made this one up today and I was so proud of myself, but now I think I know the answer. If horses were not in your life, what job do you see yourself doing?
Well, so actually a little bit of a twist with the engineering. So when I moved back to Colorado in 2008, I took a little bit of hiatus from teaching and went back and got my winemaking degree.
Oh.
I was looking for a little bit of something in the engineering-esque field, and super passionate about wine and that industry. And I did a wine program through UC Davis. I had called a friend of mine who owns a winery in California and was like, hey, what program should I do? And he told me this is the best one. Everybody in the industry goes through this program. And so I did it, and it was unbelievable. So I would definitely be a full-time winemaker. And I kind of tease everybody that when I'm old and broken, I'm going to making wine. So
I like it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, now, what's your favorite wine to make?
Yeah. Well, gosh, they're all different with their nuances and such. I mean, my favorite varietal is a cab. Okay. So I have to say that I would love to continue to make a really good cab.
Mm. Nice. You have to start making and bottling and call it Aspire
Wine.
I know.
Exactly. It's a little bit like horses. It's such a finicky process, and it's very time consuming, and you have to be around to do it. So that's why I joke that when I am too old to ride, I will have the time to then make the wine again.
Yeah. Wow. Now, we had a friend. She didn't work. She would just stay home and make wine. And then once a year, they would have a party. And all it was, the only thing to drink was the wine that she made. And she would have food throughout the house, and it paired with whatever wine that she had made. And it was so cool. And she would have, everybody got a folder explaining the wine. And at the end, you had to put your own little notes of what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it. And I mean, it was a huge deal and a lot of work for her, but it was
that sounds like she and I would be really great friends.
I mean, I kind of miss those parties. They moved away. So she
sounds like fun.
Oh my gosh, that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah. A lot of work. I give her a lot of credit because, well, I mean, she made a lot of wine, and yeah, I heard she drank a lot of wine too. So.
Well, you have to test the product. Right?
Yeah, of course.
For sure. All right, moving along. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
So I actually only have one ritual. I try to keep them to a minimum, but every time before I leave the start box, I always look at my groom and I tell her, I will see you at the finish line.
Ah, oh, I like that.
And I carried that on. Yeah, it's just something I do, and she always hears me, and it's just something that to try to get me back to the finish line, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I like that. That's nice. Okay. Final question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
I mean, this is an easy one for me. Teddy O'Connor.
Oh.
Well before Karen got the ride on him, and even back then, again, going back to the small horses, always had a draw for me. I never ended up with a small one until now. And now I won't go back. But oh my gosh, if I could have a ride on Teddy, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such a cool horse.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's such a shame that what had happened so early. Mm-hmm. Imagine what he could have been.
Oh my gosh. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Such a cool horse. Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think?
A++.
There you go. Good job.
All right.
There you go. Awesome. Well, so, Danny, what advice would you give to a young rider looking to make it in this sport?
Oh gosh, have endless grit. When you think you've hit rock bottom, you probably haven't. You're going to want to quit 10,000 times. Keep going. And truly, if it doesn't kill you, it's just going to make you stronger. You know, it's a sport of a heartache, and the highs are highs, the lows are lows. But keep, you know, keep putting that one foot in front of the other, and keep digging deep. And the other thing I would suggest too is if you have, you know, employees and your grooms and all of that, is, you know, just be kind to them, and you know, you can't do it without them, and just show them that, you know, you appreciate them and that they're pretty meaningful to getting you to where you want to go. And I think they need to know that they're needed and special, and that their hard work is appreciated.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, great advice. And, you know, we really agree with that, because these top riders, like, you know, like the fans, they just see the rider, but they don't see the team behind that and everything that they do just to get that rider up to the top. And, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a whole team to get there. And, you know, you definitely want to recognize everyone and appreciate each and every one of them.
Absolutely.
Because even if their job is just to clean stalls, they're playing a big role on your team.
Absolutely.
And speaking of teams, so we've already talked about one sponsor in Redding Goat. So who else do you have, you know, backing you, any supporters or sponsors?
So I have a new saddle sponsor in Ariane Saddles. And they have been absolutely amazing to work with. I have thoroughly enjoyed working with Salon and getting each of the horses fitted perfectly. And, Baral's a little bit tricky to fit, and he's dug deep and made some saddles for him that have worked out really well, which has been just so awesome. So appreciative. Another one is Draw It Out at the Liniment Company. My horses are so finicky, they hate spray, and they came out with a gel liniment, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And my Bravi especially really appreciates that. He absolutely hates a spray bottle, and this has saved me countless times chasing him around trying to get liniment on him. So that's been really helpful. As you said, Redding Goat, which, I mean, I can't live in Colorado without Redding Goat. I think I have like 5 different Redding Goat suits. I've got their rain suit, I've got their winter jacket, and I can't live without the Redding Goat. That's been a lifesaver all winter long. And I've even had to wear it out here on the East Coast too. And there's, you know, there's some wet, cold, damp days out here that even though it only reads 50 degrees, it feels like it's 20. Triple Crown is also a sponsor of mine. They have been so supportive in supplying my horses feed and helping me with my feeding program and some tough cases that I've had that they've been super to communicate with and help me figure out what little changes and tweaks I should do and which products I should try and all of that. Arma Boots, this one was a huge one for me because I had the hardest time, and it started with Thurston B. Howell. He was a thoroughbred of mine, mm-hmm. And Carol Mavrakis actually. And, he is 15-1. He's a small guy. And I could not find Cobb cross-country boots. And I had actually stumbled across them, this was many, many years ago, out at Ocala, actually, at the horse show in Ocala, at the Florida Horse Park. And they are amazing. Because they make cob size, they make horse size. That's been an absolute game changer for me because I just had the hardest time finding ones that would fit and not shift. So that's been a great supporter of mine, Grand Meadows. They actually were probably one of my first sponsors. I probably had them since 2005, maybe. Okay. It's been a long time with them. The Kenyon Collection. This one's super important because I wear breeches every day, and that can get very boring. And so Cindy got me into the Kenyon Collection. So now I get to match my belt with every different colored shirt, and then match my dog collar to my belt. And so that makes it a little bit more fun of the daily outfit. And, you know, breeches day in, day out can get kind of boring and drab. So that makes it a little bit more fun. Yeah. And then another new one of mine is Equine One Hoof Dressing. It actually started in Canada. And my new assistant, who's from Canada, introduced me to this product and the company. And it's such a neat product. And it works on white line and all the hoof health. And it's a product that you only have to put on twice a week, which is great because, you know, something that you have to do all the time, you know, just adds to the daily routine, which if it's necessary, then of course you're going to do it. But it's nice to have something that you don't have to do every day to benefit from it. So that's a super great one. And then Frilly Fillies, the bonnet.
Okay.
Which I love. They're just beautifully made. And she was able to do my logo, my business logo on them. And that kind of adds a nice personal touch to them. And is such a lovely person. I do every year a fundraiser for my holiday party. So I do a fundraiser for Make-A-Wish. And all of my sponsors donate items, and I do a silent auction. And every year it has grown and grown and grown. And now it's grown into other products besides all of my sponsors, you know, including wine and trips and clothing and all of that. And this year we had, I don't know, probably 85 people come, and we raised $15,000 for Make-A-Wish. So it's all of the sponsors have gotten behind it, and they know kind of in the fall that they're expecting my call of, you know, the annual party is coming up and this is what I'm planning to do. And they've all been wonderful donating stuff to that, and such a good cause.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. That, yeah, the Make-A-Wish, that, I that's just wow. And to be able to raise like 15,000, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really fun. And, you know, the clients really look forward to it. And it's, you know, another time, a time to get everybody together. And, I always have it at my house, although now we're really outgrowing my house and find a different venue, but, it's just become a really fun evening. And, Make-A-Wish even comes out and talks, and, yeah, it's just been super fun. I've been a part of, a couple of Wish grants as well. Finding, a couple of kids, horses as some of their wishes. And I've had some that wanted to come and spend a day with me at the farm as a quote horse trainer. And so yeah, it's been a super special organization to be a part of.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean that yeah, what a great idea. And you know, thank you for doing that for those kids, because that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really fun and certainly heartwarming at the end of the day, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And well, and of course, you have two sponsors that are close to us. So, of course, Red and Goat, and then also Triple Crown. So, you know, we're all in the same family.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. It's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah,
great people.
They are. Absolutely.
I mean, all your sponsors are really good, but, you know, Red and Goat and Triple Crown, you know,
We're a little biased.
We're a little biased there.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Danny, this was amazing.
Yes.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to wind things down. And the final question would be, how do our listeners follow along?
So I am on social media. I've got, I think it's Danny Sussman and Aspire Eventing on Facebook. And Instagram is Aspire Eventing. And then my website is aspireeventing.com. If anyone wants newsletters or anything like that, they can shoot me an email. I do quarterly updates and news blasts that way. That's Danny at aspirellc.org.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this was amazing. Yeah. This was so awesome. Much fun getting to know you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor, and I was really excited to get your email, and I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. And you know, like, hopefully we'll see you maybe in the fall coming up our way. Maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah. So, well, Danny, thank you again for being on the show, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Please like Major League Eventing on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And join our community, Major League Eventers, on Facebook. Cheers!